I'm Cheryl Corley, and for Michelle Martin, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Sometimes you just need a few mocha moms. We visit with members of this mother's support group each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. A new study that was released last week talks about how social networks can influence weight gain. Could some friendships be the deciding factor in who is successful in fighting the obesity battle? Also, a new website gives moms the chance to reveal everything from illness to frustrations with potty training. I'm joined by our regular moms, Jolene Ivey and Davina McFarland. We'll also be joined by our guest mom, Rami Lassily, founder of TrueMomConfessions.com. Well, let's jump right in, moms.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Thanks for having us.
So we have this new study that was released last week, and it talks about how social networks, your friends basically, can influence weight gain. But it also talks about spouse and other folks as well. But it seems that friends are, well, for lack of a better phrase, the heavyweight in this situation. Can you believe this study? What do you think?
I guess the numbers don't lie, so you have to believe it. I guess the question is, why do your friends have such a strong impact on your general health and well-being, how much you eat and how much you exercise?
You tend to join yourself with groups of people who are doing the same kind of things that you're doing. So if you're a chronic overeater, you may join yourself to other chronic overeaters. Also, you know, socially, what do we do when we want to get together? If I want to see you and I haven't seen you in a while, I invite you out to lunch or I invite you out to dinner. But I don't know necessarily that you socialize that much around the gym. It's hard to talk while you're lifting weights, but it's easy to talk while you're lifting the fork.
Well, you know what I really found interesting about this study, and they track people for more than 30 years, is that it wasn't just sitting down with a friend and lifting the fork, for instance, that it, even if your friend lived on the other side of the country, that it was that person that influenced you most. And I was just wondering, do we have just a stronger connection with our friends than we might have with members of our family, perhaps?
I think that perhaps the people who you're friends with, you find what's acceptable. You decide what's acceptable with each other. So if you have a friend who thinks it's acceptable to weigh 30 or 40 pounds more than you weigh, then maybe you're more comfortable gaining that amount of weight. Whereas if your friends around you or the friends you feel connected to feel very strongly about being healthy and staying within a reasonable weight, then you'll feel that pressure to kind of conform to what your friend wants.
Jolene, that's a good point. Davina, let me ask you, though, because I was wondering how this all plays out with children and friends. You know, childhood obesity has been in the news quite a bit. I was wondering if you would think this would play out the same kind of way with kids as well. Davina, what do you think?
I think so. I think, you know, the choices that you make as an adult are the same kind of choices you make as a child as far as what you eat, when you eat, how much you eat. And I wonder if the majority of the people in the world who are overweight actually consider the health risk. I think for the majority of people, you want to look good, so you want to lose weight. Or you want to fit in, so you want to lose weight. And if you are already in a group of people who are overweight, you don't feel that pressure.
Now, I have a true mom confession here about this. I don't have a weight problem. I've never have had a weight problem except for, you know, after you have a baby, and I've had five. So I've gained many pounds over the years, and I've lost them all, you know, eventually. And I have had a lot of people say to me, my goodness, how do you do it? Like, if you have five kids, you're supposed to weigh 500 pounds or something. And the thing that I've shared with my close friends, and because it's important to me, is I eat what is really good, and I eat what is homemade more. So if I say to myself, I'm only going to eat desserts that are homemade, it cuts out about 90% of the desserts that are in the world.
So. Now, Jolene, people can't see you. We're on the radio, and you're a relatively thin woman.
Right.
So I was just interested, do your friends, especially your close friends, do they buy into that as well?
Well, they listen to it. they at least listen to it. And it's something that I feel strongly about. So I'm hoping that maybe by being around me and knowing that that's my philosophy, it can help them. I have a friend who has been definitely working towards losing weight lately. She's made a lot of progress. I know she's listening out there. And she's told me recently that it's helped her to know that that's something that I've done that has worked for me.
Davina, what do you think about this?
Well, I unlike Jolene, am not a size 2.
I'm a 4, just for the record.
And I will say that most of my friends actually kind of have a pretty good range. I have friends that are very, very small, and I have friends that are my size and even larger. If weight and health ever comes up in our conversation, we kind of all have the same sort of philosophy. You know, there are people in the world like Jolene for whom weight is not an issue and probably never will be. And I don't know that necessarily it's because of the choices that you make or just you just have that
genetics.
You just have that metabolism.
Genetics.
Exactly.
You guys really think that?
I think that that's got a lot to do with it, but I do think that I do make choices too. I mean, I'm not going to eat 8 million McDonald's hamburgers when I can wait and eat one really good Five Guys.
Well, it's really interesting because this study, if we go back to this study for a little bit, the researchers found how close people were in their friendships also had something to do with this as well. And that, for example, it said one person's risk would only be increased if the second person considered the first person to be a friend as well. And if not, there wasn't any effect at all. So if each of the friends considered, mm-hmm. you, they said, yes, we're buddies, we're friends,
right.
Then the risk was magnified.
Let me say this. I have probably my nearest and dearest friend, and we call ourselves Oprah and Gail because,
okay.
I don't know if you guys know, but Gail King talks a lot about how much she loves food, and she talks about it constantly. Well, my girlfriend Karen, who is a beautiful woman and does not have a weight problem and has never, eats constantly. And when I say constantly, her conversation is always about food and when am I getting my next meal. And look at me, and I'm hanging out with her. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if the obesity thing were closely tied to our friendship, we would both have a weight problem. And we don't. Only I do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Can I jump in here?
Yes, Rami, go ahead.
What I found, and we actually sort of explored this on our board, was that women have a much easier time being self-deprecating, talking about the fact that they need to lose weight. I think it's really interesting that we don't sit around with our girlfriend saying, look, we're doing a great job. Let's go on a hike instead of going to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to sit with your friends and pull out that white cake and eat it with forks on the counter.
Right.
You know, it feels very, it's indulgent. Mm-hmm. But you're almost encouraging the worst, your worst instincts.
You know, it's also not acceptable for thin people to talk about weight or eating habits or anything. Nobody wants to hear it. If any discussion ever comes up about weight or food, they don't even want me to open my mouth because I don't have a weight problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know.
Did you notice us rolling our eyes at you?
And you notice me not caring?
Oh, crow.
Hey, Cheryl, it's baptism by fire, baby.
I see. I'm definitely not a size 4 either. Well, let me just tell you that you're listening to Tell Me More. I'm Cheryl Corley, and I'm here with the Mocha Bombs, and we're having quite a discussion here. Jolene Ivey and Davina McFarland. And Rami, lastly, let's bring you more formally into the conversation here. You are the founder of TrueMomConfessions.com. And I looked at that site today and my eyes just went, whoa. So tell me, why did you start the site?
I started the site because I had been a working mother, a non-working mother. I think I've been on many sides of the mommy divide and right in the middle. And I'd experienced some deep suffering and ambivalence and guilt and shame around even those feelings of ambivalence, guilt, and shame.
Mm.
And so I realized when I talked to my friends, I have very open relationships with my girlfriends, that it was such a relief, that it was validating, and that ultimately by talking to my girlfriends rather than experts, although I love experts, that I was empowered to come up with my own solutions to my problems. So I thought, why not have a site where other women could do that. It's just a great place where people can come together and confess anonymously. Mm-hmm. I can't stress enough how important I think that is as far as women really, you know, getting real on the site.
Okay. Jolene and Davina, first of all, well, we're going to talk specifically about some of the things that were posted on here, but you got a chance to look at the website. What did you think, and did you identify with some of the posting?
Sure. I think it's a valuable source for women, for moms. You know, the main thing you want is no judgment. And if you can get your, you know, just vent with no judgment from your girlfriend because you said, you know, yesterday I resented my baby because she got on my nerves or whatever you want to say, with no judgment from your girlfriend or from whomever you might normally speak to, that's awesome because that it's just so good to sometimes just say it, to just voice it. Mm-hmm. And the anonymous part is absolutely essential. Again, because you don't want the judgment. And if you attach your name or if I'm going to confess my deep, darkest whatever to Jolene, she may not really think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I tell the internet, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Right. And Jolene, I thought part of it was the ability to vent, like Davina was saying. But part of it, too, is I come to it. I just read the site recently. And to have the opportunity to read what other people wrote, I'm going to be on that site a lot now. I mean, I had a ball. Some of it was just validating, like, yeah, I felt that way too, you know, just to know that other people have gone through the same thing. And it's actually one thing that Mocha Moms has done as a support group is to provide a forum where people, it's not anonymous, but, you know, you get together and you see other moms and you learn from each other and you find out that it's normal to get mad at your baby, or it's normal to want to kill your husband sometimes, but you just can't kill the baby or the husband,
right,
you know.
Right.
But it's just something you need to talk about. You need people who can relate to you. So I think that's really useful, this website.
Well, I brought the website up so I could just read just a few things that were on here. Like the featured confession here says, I feel guilty because my husband is so excited to be having our first baby, and I'm scared to death. Is my life over? Is the question. And I was just wondering if, you know, what would you all feel comfortable posting or not, or feel uncomfortable with? I mean, you mentioned that you looked at this and Jolene and saw some things that you said, oh, you know, that's interesting, and other ones that you went, oh, my God.
Well, the things that I would feel comfortable posting, I don't have any problem talking to my friends about any of these issues. So there's nothing that I would post there particularly. I didn't feel the need to post anything because I do have good friends close by who I can talk to. But if I didn't, I would feel comfortable posting just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
Rami, a lot of the postings are deeply personal. Women are talking about everything from miscarriages to affairs to wanting to run away. When you first began, you talked about how this was a place where women could really express their feelings and not necessarily go to an expert or something like that. But do you worry about the danger of women using the site instead of getting professional help if they need it?
It was certainly an initial concern. I did have a fear that some very serious things might come up, abuse issues, and they have come up. And we very quickly, although we can't really reach out to these people because it is anonymous, we've made sure that in our forum, which you can click to from the site, which is a place where people do come out very openly with their identities for the most part, and we've added a resource page with links. And frankly, I will break my own rules and post on a post a link if I feel I need to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I noticed as well that people can click on if they read something and say, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all looking at that earlier and we were saying, oh, okay. And I was, what did you get the most me too kind of responses to that you can talk about on the radio?
I'm looking actually at the list that's up now, and we update them every week. So every week you can go to the Me Too button and see what are the top 10 Me Toos.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that there are about 150 Me Toos on one confession that says women who have sex with other women's husbands piss me off. So we do have a lot of confessions that deal with adultery and infidelity, and these women are speaking out saying, we don't like that.
I would imagine.
Especially if it's my husband.
Right. I mean, people, what's on the list right now just really runs the gamut from people talking about where they buy their shoes or don't buy their shoes and talking about helping kids grow up socially responsible. So it really runs the gamut.
One that I particularly enjoyed yesterday talked about how the woman had raised her first child a certain way and had decided that with her second child she was going to go this kind of opposite direction because the first way didn't seem to work out very well. Right. And she thought that this second philosophy she'd gone to was much more useful. And her only question is, what do I do to repair the damage with the first kid? Mm-hmm. I thought, at least she was aware enough to look at what she'd done to see how it had worked out and to change course. Not everybody can be that self-aware.
That's what I do love seeing. I remember that confession. I think it was about attachment parenting. Mm-hmm. And when I read those confessions, I think I might consider adding comments. Because although I risk going into the judgment area, mm-hmm. we do moderate everything, and mm-hmm. I would make sure to not post those. But I think if one of the users, and we have, I don't know, 5,000 to 8,000 people who come on a day, and we have about 1,000 confessions a day, if one or two users could come on and offer her a solution or just a little encouragement beyond the Me Too, which is helpful, I would feel really good about that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people checking you out and listening and looking to see what your advice or what advice they can pick up from the page as well as from our Mocha Moms. So thank you all.
Hey, thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Our Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivey and Davina McFarland, joined us from our studios here in Washington, D.C. Rami Lassily joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. You can find links to Mocha Moms and True Mom Confessions at our website at npr.org/tellmemore. And that's our program for today. I'm Cheryl Corley, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.